rain kept you at home. Great, you're welcome. Can I advise you? This book of Proverbs is something you can read, and you can download on your phone Message Bible for free. Free Message Bible. How many of you have on your phone Message Bible? How many of you have? Oh, just go to your Play Store or your Apple Store and type in there Message Bible. You will see just one like that, MSG. Download it. But if you are using YouVersion, how many of you are using YouVersion? Almost everybody uses YouVersion. Go down there, and then you can see over there too, also Message Bible, and you can read it every day before you sleep at night or early in the morning. It'd be a great thing to you. I was listening to reading the Bible, and he said, please, they will give you a paper, please collect it. They give you a paper, please collect it. That's the reason why. How many of you have collected the paper? Good, beautiful. We'll come to that in a minute. So before I come for service, I got some friends. You know me? This thing is dead. I think the battery is finished or something. Likely. So I have this my friend who comes to meet me every Sunday. And then now we read the Bible together. He's a young chap. So I gave him a Bible to read. And while I was leaving my office, I said, put your Bible there. He looked at me and said, you know, that's why you are rich. You give a lot. He never seen my bank account before. How does he know whether I'm rich or not? Just a nice guy we talk about. Now, let's do something today. Paper in your hand. Let's go to Psalm 34, verse 4. I want to ask you for something. And can you look up everybody? This Bible says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Can you capitalize that fears for us? All my fears. Okay. Give us an NLT while you are doing that work of capitalizing. Give you a lot of work to do. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Now, people of your stage, there are things that bother us that we kind of become our concern and we are afraid of. I'd like you to take that paper in your hand and write, what's your fear? Don't write your name on it. So nobody will know. Just write, my fear is, I may not get a job. My fear is, whatever. Somebody say, my fear is 10. Relax. Don't write more than 3. Is that all right? I'd like you to write that for me. I want to give you 5 minutes thereabout. Just play something for me. Okay, just play. Okay, just play SAS. Just play SAS alone. Okay, join him and that kind of a thing. While we are writing, just write. Don't write more than 3. What are your fears? And don't giraffe at somebody else. You can't copy their fear. You know? Oh my. So let's just take our time, write down. When you finish, just lift up your hands. They bring the basket and collect it from you. All right. So don't worry, Jeremiah. Relax. They just play something. Just cool. It won't take long. You know, so all right. Okay. Just what are the fears you are looking at? Oh, look at the future. What are my fears? What's this? Don't worry, I won't read it out with your name on it. I want us to do something that is going to help us. All right. Take your time. If you are finished, just lift up your hands. If you need a biro, we can. I've been planning to buy biro in church, plenty box. I'm owing 2 things now. Let me get a box of biro for third service alone. Keep it for questions. And I'm owing you the other one too. You didn't remind me. See, I forgot a lot of things. Yeah. Okay. So, how many of you have finished? Oh, don't write a thesis on your fear. Just write, my fear, this one, this one, this one. One or two, three. Not more than three. But said, I'm not writing anything. So you are fearless. Big boy. What I'm thinking about is, he freed me from all my fears. Pray to the Lord, he answered me, freed me from all my fears. So I like to just write. I'm waiting for you. Keep writing. If you're finished, lift up your hands and give it to them. Do that for us. Thank you. Thank you. Can I have another usher here? Thank you. Just stand over. As soon as they finish, what are the fears I have? Life, future, marriage, whatever. Choir, I hope you are writing too. Okay. That guy is a new face I'm looking at in the choir. I think I'm seeing him for the first time, second time. Well, I'm no longer in the hall to see you when you are singing, so. What's your name? Uche. Hosting. Tosin. Okay, so I give you Hosting. All right, please be free. Go ahead. Let's quickly have all these ones. Thank you. You know, the older ones don't understand us. Several times, I had to fight for you guys. You know, why are they behaving like that? I said, you don't know what's going on. So, Madam IBK, you're going for ceremony somewhere. You're coming back, all right. How many of you have pet name in your house? I have pet name for all my children and my grandchildren. I call one chairman, another one chief. One is professor, prof. One is madam. The most senior is madam. All right. Okay. Can we have those papers? Put them together and bring them, and then let's have some more. Okay. Thank you. All right, can I have those ones while you're still collecting? One of the beautiful things, all right. One of the beautiful things about working with God is that it will help you to go in the dark. It will help you go in the dark, in the shadow. It won't just let you become stagnant. And it won't go for you. It wants to go with you. That's why he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Come and collect from them over here. For you are with me. One thing I want you to see, everybody here, please listen to this. This is the best gift you can get today. The greatest thing about your life is that God is with you. What did I say? Make a, I don't go to church often. I'm not a pastor. God is the God of all. Let me show you something, Genesis 39, about Joseph. And it was just like a trademark for him. Let's go to Genesis 39. Look at verse 1. When I was growing up, if you had told me that, I wouldn't have believed it, that God was with me. Make it. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from Ishmael, who are taking him down there. Look at next verse. Oh, can I hear your voice? Everybody, read that verse together with me. Wow. A slave. You see, there's been a downward movement in his life. He was his father's favorite kid, but the day after, he was in chains. Bible said what? God was with him when he went down. And he became successful again. He was in the house of his master. The wife lied about him. Let's look at what happened. Let's move down below 39. Let's go to verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Look at next verse. What did he say? Can I hear your voice again? So, you must always treasure this. You know, I was talking to a man today who had suffered in the civil service. They are putting behind, putting back, and they kept on blocking him. He just came to my office today to show me a letter that is now a permanent secretary, PS, the highest level. Can you clap your hands for Jesus in civil service? He had cried, they have punished him, they have made life difficult for him. In fact, one day he was in church here, he was praying, and he had somebody telling him, he looked at him and said, forgive that person who is making life difficult for you. He screamed, went to the toilet, wept, washed his face, came back. They put him on the list for the promotion, they removed his name again. But God kept telling him, I'm with you. A couple of months ago, he said, God, look, I'm tired. I want to assure you something. I'm not assuring you of life that has no difficulty. But I want to assure you of something, that in everything, God is with you. The worst criminal, God is with him. The only problem, are you with God? Will you believe that? I read the verse, Psalm 34, verse 4, that we read at the beginning. Give us again, Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord. I looked for the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. What a bountiful harvest. What a great proposition. What a mighty opportunity that I can be free from my fears. Let me give you a verse before I start looking at this. Psalm 46, verse 1. I want you to look, if you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to mark the verse, put something on it. God is our refuge and strength. See that word? Not a present help. What is it? A very present help. How many of you went to the school where they mark register in the morning and you have to answer, present, sir? Can I see your hands? Oh, you went to the kind of, I thought that it was our the last set. I thought you just come in and just, but you see, and when they say, hey, Tony, present, sir. Shola, present, sir. James, I'm in the house. But God will say to you, present, present. Then when trouble comes, say, very present. Did you hear that? I heard of a guy, I think I have that thing in my house. This guy, after life was over, he got to heaven. And they showed him his life. And he saw two pairs of feet walking together. And the Lord said, I was with you all through your journey of life. He said, I don't believe that. You are with me. So, but something he noticed, once in a while, he will not see two pairs, he will see one pair of his feet. And when he looked closely, he noticed that those times when there was only one pair of feet, it was his most traumatic time. So he turned and said, Lord, you mean you left? The Lord said, no, you are too tired. I carried you. It's not your footprint, it's mine. And you see, those who are older, so they don't know the kind of burdens we carry sometimes. I told these who are older, I said, you don't know today. Life is much more difficult. I was looking through the WAEC stuff that they do now. When I was in school, all these crazy things are doing, we never did them. Come on. We don't do further maths as normal thing. They pack the syllabus like that. If I go to school, I don't think I'll pass. Come on. They pack all these adults. They just pack things so much for you. No wonder you have to go to lesson all the time. When I was going to school, I never went to lesson. I read the books in school and I come back home. So there's so much put on you. Can you imagine? You go to school all through for 16, 20 years. Then toward your last year, they will say, come on for entrepreneur class. I'll go and start business. I'll go and start job. Why don't let me go through all this? I'll start selling granuts before I started so I can get some skill on the way. Now, I'm now coming to the end. You say, there's no job. Oh, you take care of yourself. Let's bring AK-47, kill all these adults. So we have our fears. Can I be honest with you? When I was growing up, I thought I was the worst guy God ever made. I had a lot of fears. The turning point in my life came to see that I'm not alone. I left my father's house when I was 12. See, that 12-year-old, I never stayed with my parents for more than 2-3 days or 1 week after that. And from here to there. And looking back, God's been with us. Tell somebody beside you, God is with you. You may not know it. God's with you. Let me now, before I start talking about our fears, I want to establish something for you. As you come to church, as you come around over here, I know you are not perfect. You are still at this stage of your life. Pastor, sometimes I mess up. Sometimes it's not normal where you are right now. You won't get everything right. If you bring a child here that's starting school and they can write 1 clearly, 2 clearly, 3 clearly, it's Ojoro. My daughter today, she's a person who is into writing heavily. When she started writing, her A was sleeping. You know that? A like this. A was like this. And I scream on her. What's got you write very well? So, first of all, I want you to know that you're coming to church. That's all right. But I want you to know that God is with you. God's with you. Say that with me again. God is with me. And to do what? Let's look at the book of Judges, chapter 6. There was this guy called Gideon that was, the people were having a lot of problems. It's amazing, like we are having now. These people of Israel, they will walk like Trojan. When the harvest time comes, somebody just come and pack all the harvest. It's like you go to school, you know how much it costs somebody to go to school, JSS3, SS3, WAEC, university, finish, and say, you're looking for a job. That's the way it was. So this guy called Gideon was so tired and so scared, he went to go and hide with the little resort he had. And this is what happened. Take a look. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth. Can you give us an NLT? Make it clearer. I'm talking about you today. The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the midnight. She was hiding the food that she had. Next verse. Can you read with me, everybody? The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, what did the angel call him? Mighty Hero. And why do they call him Mighty Hero? The Lord is with you. And the Bible says, Mighty Warrior. Can we give us NKJV? Let's see NKJV. What did NKJV say? The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Message Bible. What did he say? God's with you, oh mighty warrior. I know it may look like laughing matter. Don't tell that person next to you. Say, God's with you, oh mighty boy, oh mighty girl. You are mighty in finishing the food. I was like, but don't you, I'm mighty or anything else, I'm not mighty. Give us next verse quickly. Message Bible. Gideon replied, with me, my master. Now, can you look up? This is where I need you. If God is with us, the angel said, God's with you. He said, if God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, didn't God deliver us from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to Midian. See, God said, I'm with you. He said, no, you are not with us anymore. Now, can I warn you? Can I warn you? You have to stop seeing your life as common life here in Nigeria. If you keep looking at your life, looking at, we are the masses. The grass, the elephant will fight over your head. Are you hearing me? I want to plead with you today. I'm talking to you as a person. He said, the angel said, you are a mighty hero. He said, the Lord's with us. He said, no. Why this all come from? Why this all coming? Why this going to come? But look at next verse again. I love this. But God faced him directly like he's facing you today. Go in this strength that is yours. Go in this strength that is yours. Let's read it in NKJV or NLT. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have I not sent you? Let's look at what he said next to God. Next verse. So he said to him, go back to, for me, Message Bible. I want to read Message so that can really get into our mind. Gideon said to him, me, my master, how and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the runt of the litter. That means I'm the lowest in that weakest clan. Let's look at the response of the angel again. See that? God said to him, I'll be with you. Believe me, and you will defeat Media as one man. Have you ever watched Rambo before? Rambo? You never watched Rambo? I like to go and watch Rambo. One man army. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. So that's why I want to start with your fears. My fears have been not to be able to fulfill my purpose. Not be able to get a job. Not be able to use my degree. I can't get the rest over there very well. I can't get this very well. And to have something about marriage. I understand this. We live in a crazy economy. But for that person talking like this, you know what I want you to do? I have a word for you. That person, I don't know who you are. Psalm 27. Let's look at 13 and 14. That person. I'm talking to that person who wrote this one. I'm talking to directly now. Give us in NKJV. I would have lost out unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, Don't lose heart. Believe that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hold on to that. Don't ever forget it. Rest of us can learn from it. But this person who wrote this, I'm saying to you today, stop fainting. Stop losing heart. Pastor, how can I do that? Just keep on doing what you need to do and have this stupid confidence. It's stupid. I know it's stupid because all the facts are against that. But have this stupid confidence that God will be good to you. Are you hearing me? God will be good to you. You know, I learned this something from this verse years ago. I went for one exam. And that exam all, it was bad, man. I could read very well. The whole class went quiet. I told you before. One half caste behind me said something that I should not say in church. Should I say it? Should I say it? Shit, man, shit. I got quiet. I look at the papers. Every question was speaking in tongues. I close it back. I wrote 3 out of 4. Dr. Rotimi came behind me. He said, you wrote only 3 out of 4, compulsory everything. Fear went through me. I wrote 1 line for the 4th. I went out, I checked it. That 1 line was wrong. As I came out of the exam hall, they said our in-course assessment is out for other 2 subjects. That particular year, you have to pass all the 5 courses, or if you fail one, you repeat the whole year. A crazy course in medical school. So, and they said it's out. I want to go and check the result of that in course. I failed. As I got to my room, I met my brother who was paying my school fees for my dad. How is the exam? What will I say? Just carry me, go home. I had a dream that I failed. I woke up out of that dream. Then I had this verse. I would have fainted unless I had believed. So I got up and said, Lord, it was not easy for me to believe because everything was against me. The result came out, I passed all the 5 subjects. I never went back to go and check, what did I get? I know to be around 49, 50, or 51, 52, 53, one kind of thing. But it took me through it. So this person, that's for you. Fear of how the future is going to be. Second one, marriage. Fear of the country and the economy. Thank you. Let's start with that one. If you are the person who wrote this, let's go to for you, 29 Jeremiah, verse 11. Give us an NLT. If you're in that category, you're that kind of person that wrote this one. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Wow. And to give you a future and a hope. So, I'm asking you, if you are the one who wrote this, raise up your head. Are you hearing me? Raise up your head. Not because of anything anybody can do for you, but because God said, I have a future for you. Future and hope. For your marriage, I don't have Bible verse for you. Can you drop it over here? I have a living witness for you. Shall I come? Get the microphone. Before you were thinking of getting married, wasn't it really threatening? Let's hear your voice. Was it, you are thinking I'm going to get married? And actually, you are forced into the marriage. Sort of. Well. You know, you are thinking of traveling and cool. Yeah. And then, if that didn't happen, we wouldn't have been married now, right?
I will.
Actually, you are married.
Okay, what happened was, I was planning the marriage for ending of last year.
Yeah,
so we're now supposed to travel by September. The marriage was supposed to be like November, December. We had said okay. At the end of 2023. So we're not going to travel at September. So we said, okay, let's do the wedding. Early September, we're going to travel before 18th of September. So The traveling did not work out. We now said, we're actually going to get married at the end of the year. So let's just marry now. Do the marriage. So we did it at the end of September. And I usually say this, that the marriage was, the amount I had in my account before the marriage was more than what I had after the marriage. So everything for that marriage, I did not spend a dime of my money. And I did not ask any of my brothers. In fact, my brothers were pursuing me. They would say, Are the drinks ready? It's sorted out. Your clothes is sorted, your suit is sorted out. So they got tired of asking me. They were asking my wife that, he's not telling us anything. What have you people not done? What can we do? I didn't tell them anything. They just gave us money at the end of the day because I didn't ask my boss. I'm standing on the altar of God. I told my boss about the wedding 1 month before the wedding. He was surprised, like, what is wrong with you? How can you be telling me about your wedding now? And my boss is someone like, I know if I told him earlier, he would have taken over the wedding and done everything. But I'm sure God did it that way to get the glory, for a man not to get the glory. And
so here's a testimony. Tiara just said, tell somebody beside you, don't worry about marriage. You'll be married. And you'll be settled. Some of you, you don't even have the mouth to even tell somebody beside you. Clap your hands for Jesus. My fear is the world war. My fear is being poor. I want to be rich. Thank you. Let's start with the word war. I have an answer for you. 24 Matthew. Matthew 24. Whoa! Verse 6. 24, verse 6. And you will hear of wars and threat of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. So get down with your life. It's all right. So, this guy, zero panic. You have not even seen the bomb yet. You're already paralyzed. My fear of being poor. I want to be rich. Stop wanting to be rich. Start doing something toward being rich. How? Very simple. I'll give you 2 verses on that. Chapter 10, 22, Proverbs. Let's do that. Proverbs 10, 22. Give us on the screen. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he has no sorrow with it. So number one, pursue the blessing of God. First thing you do.
Ah, Pastor, I want to have one like that yahoo boy.
Okay, go after him. You'll be destroyed. They are packing them in droves now. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean this. The blessing of God makes a person. It's not the richness. The blessing of God. So everything you do, ask yourself, do I have the blessing of God on this? Particularly, let me now show you how to be rich. Find out what you want to do as a career. Are you hearing me? I'll give you a second verse on this one. 22:29, Proverbs. Take a look. Give us. 22:29, Proverbs. Quickly. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. And kings bring big money. Am I right? So, in these days and time, you need to excel in what you are doing. If you give your possible best and don't play around, It goes a long way. I know a young man in Lagos stayed with my pastor friend. I remember Pastor Abraham Akiola, who came years ago for our anniversary. Was it last year or year before the last? He didn't have parents. He stayed with them. And then they put him in a computer school. You know what he started doing? He started giving his best there to his boss. And started doing all exam and exam and exam certification. He became one of the top best in this country today. Why? Give your possible best. There's something about being rich. Riches attract more riches. If you know something, if you go to school and you get one day 65, next time you want to get 70. Am I right? That's what it is. So give your possible best, knowing that the blessing of God is with you. Is that all right? Let's stop there. I can cover the rest so I can go to other people. My fear is that I want to be righteous. Ah, it's a good one. My fear is that I might delve into sexual immorality if I have the opportunity. Good. I love this question. Now, let's talk about the first one. That's why I said, don't put your name on it. See, I'm here, not ministering generally now. I'm talking to you. Pastor, how did you come about this while I was coming down? You don't have to fear to be righteous. Righteousness is not an attainment, it's a gift. That guy, listen now. Righteousness is not an attainment, it's a gift. Don't try to be righteous, you will waste your energy. You cannot attain to the level of being righteousness of God. You can't attain. No human being can. So how do you get righteous? Let's go and read it. Genesis 15, verse 6. Take a look. Take a look. And Abraham believed in the Lord. See that? And he accounted it to him for. So that word there is credited. See, Abraham believed. All right? And God said, credited to his account righteousness, not because he walked. Let's learn that more. Romans 4. Romans 4. Let's go to Romans 4, verse 1, quickly. Talking about Abraham there. What then shall we give us in NLT to make it clearer? What then, quickly? Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? Abraham. Let's find out his discovery. Next verse. If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God and righteous, he would have had something to boast about. But that's not God's way. Did you hear that? You're thinking, I'll try to be righteous. I want to reach this, so I'll do something for God. Look at next verse. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his what? So just believe. That's what you need most. Next verse. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Next verse. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? We have been duped in church to believe that we are coming here so we can do some goody-goody to become righteous. We start with righteousness and grow in that. Is that all right? Pastor, my fear is that I might be into sexual immorality if I have the opportunity. I like you. You know why? They may laugh at you, but let me show you a verse in the Bible. See, I'm talking to us personally today. 1 Corinthians 10. So this is what you need to know. That your desire, that your fear is healthy. Verse 12. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. King James, NKJV says it another way that sounds really weird. Listen to NKJV. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand, take heed. I like you. You are, I may fall. For instance, see that place. This one is too low. You know, I may fall. So what do you do? Don't come near. You know, I'm gonna say you won't fall. Then you're nobody else. You know, one day, last week, I went up there. See this? Can you look up and see this? What do you call this now? Look at security stuff. Railings. And I went there. A man said, you may fall. I put my hands on it. And I stand back. If I say I may fall, I start climbing. I start naga. Next thing I'll do, I'll fall. When I know my problem and I know my issue, I will not go there. But can I put a caveat? By the way, if you fall, get up again. Pastor, you mean I can fall? Taluma lule, waluma lule. But that's not the end of your life. You know why I said so? Pastor, a woman was caught in the very act of sexual immorality and brought to Jesus.
Pastor, you really give me an excuse for sin?
I'm not giving you any excuse. You already have the excuse already. I'm trying to get you out of it. And when if you are falling to sexual immorality here, what do you do? Simple. Come to the Lord. They brought her to Jesus, knock her down. They said, we should stone her to death. And Jesus started writing on the floor. He said, Jesus, what do you say? He said, who has never committed sin before? Let him throw the first stone. There's only one person who can throw the stone. Who can tell me? Jesus, he had never sinned before. What did he say? All these people that came with stones started dropping them from the older one to their... Because the older you get, the more sin you commit. So they left. When Jesus asked her, who are your accusers? He said, Lord, no one. Can I say something? You want to hear the truth? The reason many of you are like this is because you should be in your husband's house or your wife's houses. You are too langba-langba. Are you hearing me? Some of you should have had two kids by now. In the bush. Are you hearing me? But this economy will be a beco. So you manage. Are you hearing me? Keep managing. You will settle down. Is that all right? It's not the easiest thing in the world. In the land of Israel, they hardly commit adultery or fornication. You know why? They don't settle. God gave one way to escape fornication. Can I show you in the Bible? The Bible says, flee fornication. To where? When you flee, just imagine you flee from lion and you meet leopard. The Bible says, flee. He said, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, have his own children. Pastor, I can't marry now. So hold yourself. Keep going. And sometimes be honest with your fiancé. Don't do like this. When you come and see yourself, tell him, this is really, I want to kiss you now. Then you respond. I say, let's not start doing that now. Then let's go outside the house. Let's just take a walk. We have to. Is that all right? Thank you. So that's for this person here. Let's come over here. We'll go as far as we can, then we'll stop. We'll continue next week if you're going to have your fear of the future. If you turn out good or not. Fear of marrying right. Let's start from the last one. For this person, there is nothing like right marriage. Hear me? Listen. I'm married for 35 years now. Clap for me. Sometimes I think I marry right. Sometimes I think I marry wrong. Pastor, what do you say that? Are we here? Particularly when we have some disagreements, I married wrong, man. I wish I'd marry that cooler sister who is not going to challenge me. My wife's from Ibadan. Ibadan people, you say two, they say three and four. You are not going to marry an angel. So all this marrying right, marrying right, marrying right, marrying right, and all these teachers will come and say 1,001 steps to take to get married. You are lost in the first 10 steps. The girl must be that. Girl must be that. The check. You cannot check forever. I've always said this. See, marriage. All those who come for second service, they marry. Some of them marry wrong. They marry right, but they are married. Some of them get belay. Some of them were broke. Some of them were forced into. But they are married now. It's what you do with the marriage that matters most. Just don't marry somebody foolish.
Pastor, what is that one?
Number one, he doesn't believe in God. Number two, he doesn't follow Jesus. Number three, it's a scatterbrain. That means that when he's angry, he takes a knife. That's tough. But anybody else, you can cope. Hey, Pastor, I have this boyfriend. He's not always listening to me. Mariam.
Pastor, I have this guy that is not having so much money.
Mariam.
Pastor, are you serious? I have this guy that I just don't know.
He doesn't love me the way he has to be loved. Get Mariam. You go love her. You go love you more. And after that, you adapt to him. Right? You know, James, is your wife correct in everything? She's perfect in everything. Give me five. Let's come to your wife. She looks very nice. She's correct in everything. So what is, I want that girl like this. Usually you marry what you don't desire sometimes. For instance, you know, Mofi, you say, I'm looking for that girl. Then you find this other girl. What you need most in life is somebody who can help you in the journey. Are you hearing me? Stop thinking, I'm going to marry that. That fear, one day I was with a guy when I was in school. We were walking on the road. No, I was no longer in school. I was in school. I said, what's your problem? He said, pray for me that I will not marry wrong. I said, you're going to marry wrong. Your prayer request is that I will not marry. I said, pray that you marry right. You're going to get the right guy. Pastor, are you sure? You're going to be your correct sense when you are choosing. Say amen. And if you even not be in your correct sense, we'll help you correct your sense. Just don't do this by yourself alone. Is that all right? For instance, you want to marry somebody, James, remember now? James, where's your fiancé? It's in Taraba. Remember, we talked those days. James, you say, I don't hear from him, from her. I said, James, keep on. You know, let's. And finally, she's here. James, I worry, what about job? What am I going to do now? You know, the lady is in Adamawa, no, Taraba. And where she's working 6 hours from capital city. You just go running like a gunshot. You know, and one day she just came, says she's not going anymore. What's he going to eat? James is a teacher. What am I going to do? Whoa. I said, James, relax. We started trusting God. I was telling him to relax. I don't have any job for his wife. We started looking. You know what? She got two jobs at the same time. She had to make her choice. Particularly for ladies, there is a fear that they may not come to you. There's only one thing you can do. You can trust God. Is that all right? Just trust God. Put yourself in the hands of God. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. Let's quickly run. Fear of being a failure. The fears of facing challenges that I can't handle. Fear of losing my loved ones. Let's talk about this for a few minutes. Let's start from the middle one. The fear of facing challenges that I can't handle. I want to give you a verse for that one to help you throughout your lifetime. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Give us an Amplified Classic. I want you to look at this verse. Oh, it's so small. Can you try and look? Can we blow it up, guys? Belum is not around, but someone else can help us there. Can we blow it up? But let me try and read it. Can we listen? No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that's not common to human experience. No, is any temptation or no, I want Amplify Classic, not Amplify. I want Amplify Classic. Thank you. He's saying almost the same thing. I want Amplify Classic. Okay, is that the one, second one? Yeah, thank you. For no temptation, no trial, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and lay hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that's beyond your human resistance and that's not adjusted and adapted, belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. Pastor, what is everybody here? Everything that will come your way, God will first of all panebit it to your size. Do you hear what you said? That if you are going to face job difficulty, God could have gone ahead and see that it will not overwhelm you. Now listen, we are not through there. But God is faithful to his word. Oh, what's happening? Okay, give us the next part of it. Guy, that's my trial now. I'm not saying the rest now. You have gone. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and ascend beyond your ability and strength, resistance, power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always, or trial, always provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place. Be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under his presence. By nature, I don't like trouble. Ah, I love to avoid things that will make life mad. Then I came to see that one day I will face trouble in life. Then I asked myself, how will I survive? Remember, I opened tonight this meeting by God is with you. Remember that? God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. Tell yourself, God is with me. So, you are no longer facing life by yourself. You know, that man I told you that became permanent secretary. He told me, Pastor, I'm not fully righteous. I have my sin, but when I enter church like this, I will say, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. I'm not perfect. Thank you for your blood. That's cleansing me. Some things must be put in your life and kept, like this one. Nothing that will... When I got that in my life, I've had stuff in church. Do you know, just how many weeks ago, things got spoiled, one thing broke down. I just tell myself, I'm going to go on because God is with us. I've had things happen in our house, around me, stuff. Just get up and say, God's with us. And God will sort everything out one by one. Tell yourself, God is with me. This is only one line. Not been enough. Not been enough. I have a verse for you. Philippians 4:13, Amplified Classic. Not been enough. I want you, if you are this person, I'm going to tell you what to copy out in that verse and put it by your window, by your mirror at home. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Now ready? I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses. What? I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Carve out those last part. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Imagine that Billy Gay walk up to you and say, hey boy, my account is available to you. What won't you order on Jumia? Huh? I mean, he said, my account is available to you. You tell him, Jumia, Emma Loli, Amazon, show up. Am I right? So, the fear of not being enough, always remember this, I'm self-sufficient in what? In Christ's sufficiency. Copy it out. Put it by your window or by your mirror, if you're a lady, dressing mirror. And let it just come to you regularly. And I always swore I won't be a pastor. I didn't like the job. Because I don't like trouble. My own is, in fact, one time I was dreaming of going to prison. That at least when I go to prison, I will not do anything. I'll just be inside there and I will eat and give me books to read, novels. I'm self-sufficient. In whose sufficiency? In Christ's sufficiency. Thank you. Let's look at the next one. God's just given us a word today. I don't know how am I going to make it in life. My fear is the Lord has not answered my prayer. I got answers for you. I told you, I came here just because of you today. I don't know how am I going to make it in life. The very first thing, let's look at it. Isaiah 41 verse 10. I'm going to repeat to you again what I said before. Give us. This Amplified classic, right? It's mouthful. Can you imagine God walking up to your house and saying this to you? Fear not. There's nothing to fear. For I'm with you. Don't look around you in terror and be dismayed. For I'm your God. What is it first? I will strengthen. Listen. And I will harden you to what? Difficulties. Let me give you an example. Yomi is over there. Sitting there. And one boy now comes and just kick Yomi. If it were you that the boy kick like that, you kick back. The boy kick Yomi, Yomi won't feel it at all. You feel it. God said, I'm going to harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my right hand of rightness and justice. You know what? Let me drop this one for you before we go further. God has not come to your life to count your sins. Are you hearing me? One guy went to heaven like that. When he got to heaven, he just found himself in the throne room of God. He started trying to address himself. God said, relax. I know everything about you. I didn't bring you here to come and check you up. I already checked you before I brought you here. Is that all right? You ought to have this, all this idea of are you hearing me? So all this idea of I'm going to God. No, God knows you already. He knows how your grandpa messed up, your grandfather messed up, your grandmother messed up. You know all that before. And he said, I love you. Can you clap your hands for Jehovah God? This is it. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will retain you. I'll keep you up. My fears, the Lord has not answered my prayer. Let me now talk about that. In your journey with God, sometimes a prayer will not be answered. Are you hearing me? Because if God answers all your prayers sometimes, there'll be no room for improvement. Huh? Imagine, example, you are going for driving test and you have not perfected how to turn at a corner. Lord, help me to pass. Help me to pass. And when you arrive at the driving test, this crazy examiner, the first thing said, turn at the corner. You say, God has left you. I beg you. The first thing we say to you, turn at the corner. And then you turn at the corner. Boom! You fail. Go back home.
Pastor, God didn't answer my prayer. He answered your prayer to go back and do it better. I don't believe that.
If I left you to what you are in primary two, today you won't be in university. Are you hearing me? Let me give an example. Years ago, in church, we wanted to buy a photocopy machine. Are we listening? What does it mean we wanted to buy? Photocopy machine. And that day, I asked a brother in church. Today, his son married about 2 weeks ago in church. That time, you know. So I said, let's go to Lagos. And we fixed this day to go to Lagos to go and buy photocopy machine. And that day, he was working at VI. So I said, we are going together from here early in the morning to Lagos. And early in the morning, I didn't see him. So I went to a place to call. That time there was no phone like this. So I started calling his office. We're just ringing. Nobody picked up the call. Where's this? I was furious. I was angry. Why didn't he show up? Then in the afternoon around 4 o'clock, he came up. I said, what happened? He said, I went to Lagos. I said, without me? He said, Lagos was blocked. There was serious flood overnight. And everywhere was blocked. Himself, when he got to that area, before OPK, before you get to Lagos, he had to, everybody turn back. I said, praise God. Praise God. He said, nobody pick up the phone in my office because there was nobody in the office. I said, tomorrow we are going to go to Lagos. You think that's the only thing about it? Second day, we got up. We got to the office to buy the photocopy machine. Guess what? The engineer who was supposed to help us with the machine has been sick for 3 weeks. He showed up the first day, that day there. So if you had come yesterday with everything worked out, you would have just met him and said, please, sorry, come back tomorrow. And I hate disappointment. So God, know that I hate disappointment. He got me to get my prayer answered so that I can get me somewhere there. Have you ever been crossing the road before with your friends? And while you are talking, a car is speeding by. And your friend just push you out of the way you fell out there. Somebody pushing me. See the car. Pastor, how do I know God wants me to get better through my prayer? If you are not doing anything wrong sincerely, God will help you. If he doesn't answer your prayer, he has something else for you.
Pastor, are you sure I'm not doing anything wrong?
Let me tell you, anytime you are praying and you don't get an answer, and when you say, am I doing anything wrong, and something comes to your mind, you are doing something wrong. For instance, you pray, God, what's my answer? And something, the way you abused your mommy yesterday, don't start arguing. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Where's the answer? I'm sorry. So sometimes God may not answer a prayer because, number two, he has a greater testimony for you. Lazarus was sick and he was lying down. And they called Jesus. They took phone. Jesus, please come. Your friend is sick. Your friend is sick. And Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus. Stay back. And 2 more days he stayed back. And then on the 4th day, he said, let us go. Our friend is sleeping. They thought he was having malaria, freedom from, because not sleeping. He said, let's go and die. He said, no. He said, he's dead. And they got down there. And they said, 4 days, he's dead. And Jesus said, it's for the glory of God. Something bigger than just, if I come to heal him, he'll have a normal. And 4 days later, he was the only one who died for 4 days. No wonder he was the friend of Jesus. He allowed that kind of test to come to his life. Anybody else, they will have backslid. Are you hearing me? And then Jesus came in and said, hey, wake up from the dead. And everybody, Bible said the testimony was so big about Jesus that the Pharisees were thinking of killing Lazarus and Jesus because it just dabaru everything for the Pharisees. May your life dabaru the camp of all the things of people who think that you can never make it in life. Amen. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Let us start rounding up. Our time is fast spent. Let's go to this one quickly. Oh, the same thing over here now. The future, family, career, marriage. I have a word for you, not I've been saying before. I got this for you. Romans 8. If you are this person, Romans 8. I think I've finished with that. Thank you. Romans 8. This one's for you. I know you could get your answer from the other one I've said before, but this one is for you. Verse 28. Give us an NKJV. This one is for you. This person. And we know that all things work together for good. For who? To those who love God. The only caveat here, I'm asking you, love God. Don't hate God. If you're this person, all the things you are thinking about, your fear, the future, family, this, God will make everything work together for your good. Pastor, you mean that if things go crazy, remember Ruth? Things went crazy with Ruth. Lost her father-in-law, lost her brother-in-law, lost her own husband. But you know what God did? God step in and make everything work together for her. She married a man that became the grandfather, grandmother of David. Right? Let me answer this one. My fear of finances. I have an answer for you. They say it in Yoruba. Ba inu owoje. Make money sad. You know what I say? What did I say you should do? Make money sad. You see, when you have fear of money, I want you to keep it. So Jesus said, give. Shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. We might give to your bosom. Wow. This guy, the only way to beat the fear of the future is break the power of money over your life. Give it. Give. Just give. Just give. Help your friend. Jimmy, what's the problem? Oh, I need 1,000 naira. You got 1,500 left. Jimmy, come and take. Are you mad? Yes, become mad. Just give. Give your friend that money. Pastor, how am I going to survive? You are going to find out that money is not that powerful after all. Have you ever watched some of this film where this guy, they find him and they point a gun at his head? Before they shoot, he's already dead. I said, that crazy guy. Huh? You point the finger, he start walking toward you. Blow. Make my day. Huh? Kill me. Then the guy will do like this. You kill me, that password will not come out. Man of us, what am I going to do? Well, I may be broke in life. Get broke and see what happened. Huh? Hello? How many of you have been broke before? You have been broke before. Can I see your answer? You've been broke before. Did he die? Next question. The fear of my spiritual weakness. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. The fear of weakness. What do you do with weakness? Let's quickly round that up. My time is up. Should we do some more before we leave? Our time is up. Should we do some more? Let's vote. Should we do some more? Should we do some more? Thank you. All right. This is what you do with your weakness. Quickly. I want you to take all this, what I'm giving to you today, like your own personal sermons. Today, you came to church and you got a personal sermon. Wow. Take a look at verse 10. Okay, from verse 9 to make it clear. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect. Where? Where? I'm not hearing your voice. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in what? Or that same word for weaknesses. That the power of Christ may what? Now listen, everybody here. You will not believe this. Some of you think it's not true. I stammer. I don't talk well. If you meet me in normal life. The last thing I want to do is to preach. I hate standing up before people. I'm an introvert by nature. And I'm a stammerer. Together, the two of them will keep you indoor forever. And God said to me, you're going to preach. Number one, I don't want to be talking. I want to be thinking all the time. Number two, I don't want to be people. And God just conspired against my weakness. And he said, preach. And second, pastor, we are people I will see every day. You won't believe this. Sometimes I stand at that door, I'm coming inside, I'm out of all people. My best moment is when we finish service and I get home and I enter my room. And I close the door. I say, praise God. I don't finish it today. Before Tuesday, we come again. But I keep doing it. Now, how many of you over here, I look scared. I look. You know what happened? I boast in my weakness. You're all laughing about it. That's how power of Christ rests upon me. Do we get that? Tell your neighbor, don't be embarrassed by your weakness. Let Christ strengthen you there. Beautiful. Whoa. See, there are some common fears. You can see it all over the place now. Fear of finance. Dating, having a relationship with opposite sex. Not being able to take care of the people. Is there any child around? Any child around? Can you help me? Is your daughter around? Can you help me find a child quickly? Oh yeah, thank you. Hey, Susie, thank you. Come, great. That's good for you. What's your name? Tantantaya. I didn't hear what she said. Now, can you look up here? What can I ask her to do for me? Besides carrying her. She just snoozing by my side over here. If I have some biscuits now, I will carry her away. Some life stages, that's where we should live. Stop worrying about others. Let God take care of you first. Imagine I sit her down. You are going to marry. You are going to look for a house. You are going to find a job. And it's a bad country. What would she say? Where are the biscuits? There's a place where you live like that. You must be a child of a father, the heavenly father. You know, this child never worry about school fees. Even washing her clothes, she doesn't care. You know why? It's your trouble, not her trouble. You have to be that with God. First. You know, everybody listen to this. I've never outgrown this stage with God. I've never outgrown this stage. This stage, I just go home. I got a lot of things to do. I got things to pay for. I got life to live. But I go home and say, God, you're my daddy. You know, just help me out. Just do whatever you can. And if you don't help, can you do? So I just, many of you, your prayer life is more about Baba, Jesus. Please, you want to come down? You want to go to mommy? Thank you. Oh, yeah, run to mommy. Go to mommy fast. Thank you. All these adults will cause you to start worrying about life. Where did that stop? James, you are married. You are a man now, but you are a child of God. I go to God sometimes. Just tell God, Lord, I need that. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Can you imagine this afternoon? They came to my office. They told me, "That's a problem, oh! That's a problem, oh! Reverend, you must solve it now." I said, "Huh?" I turned to God. So tell somebody beside you, put your life in the hands of God. Enjoy where life is now. Now see that baby. She grow up, and you can be sure when she grows up, she go to school. And when she goes to school, she will come out. See, life is in stages. One day, you take care of your parents. That stage will arrive there. Shola, I know you think about it. When I was starting out in my life, got married, I would go to Mushin to catch a bus to Abeokuta. And I would stand there and I would see fine cars passing. And I'll tell you, which day of my life will I ever buy a car? I was doing the wrong thing. Instead of getting busy to arrive there, I'm standing by the road counting cars. And gradually, we have given out cars now. God has helped us. We have some other cars. I don't worry about cars. My wife is the one who chooses the car we drive. I don't worry. Every car is the same thing for me. Metal plus cushion put together. I'm in books. I'm thinking. I don't worry about things like that. Cars. Some other things I think about, but not cars. So, I say this to you. God will organize you to where you take care of your parents. You take care of your siblings. You'll be so blessed that the world will look at you and give God the glory. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Pastor, all this thing you are asking us, what does it require? Faith. And what is faith? Take God by his word. If God says supply, let's just leave it to God. I'm going to follow God. I'll do my possible best. Faith is the most important thing for a Christian. Faith is that when that time comes, God will be there for me. Remember Abraham, the greatest model of faith. What did he do? God said, go and offer your son, your only son. And he took the son, he took knife, he took firewood. And they are going. The boy said, Dad, say, yes, sir. What? Uh-huh. There's fire. Yes. There's firewood. Yes. There's knife. Where is the offering? If you are the parent, what will you do? What happened? God said, as we offer you, that boy will jump fence, run off, kick his father. The Lord will provide. Now, Pastor, will I get job when I finish in 2 years' time? The Lord will provide. Will I ever find someone to marry? The Lord will provide. Will I ever pass this certification? The Lord will provide. Pastor, are you sure? The Lord will provide. My wife and I, we used to fight those days. So you say, want to buy something? I say, am I making money? Where will I get the money from? And then we keep fighting for years. Then one day dawned on me that I can transfer this responsibility to God. Then I will say, let's say something, the Lord will provide. And be Arabia Wada, the Lord provides. Now play, the Lord provide. The Lord provide. Then, gradually, Pastor, how did he provide? I'll just sit down. When I say that out of my mouth, two things usually happen. The thought will flow out of my inside of what to do, or somebody will just come around and help me solve the problem. I've seen that over the years. You know, last Sunday, when you are not around, when you left, you spoiled our inverter. Your absence spoiled our inverter last week. This inverter big, we just got it. I just had something. And the two inverter, the first one spoiled, the second one spoiled. Big one. 10. What should I do? They look at me over there in my younger days. I say, God, it's time to go to Australia because there's no power problem there. There'll be other problems too. Huh? You know what I did? I said, don't worry. We'll buy another one if you need to buy. And then they came to me. They said they found something that's better at cheaper rates than anything else. This one was costing 1.8, 1 point something. Because something for 600K. That's working so powerfully now. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? It's what it is. I wish we can continue, but we have to go. I would have loved to answer all this one. We're going to finish by around 4 o'clock today. And I want to go home. But can I say this to you? I can't finish everything, but God knows where you are. Remember the verse I started with? Let's go back there again. Psalm 34, verse 4. Then I will close with something that is important. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from what? How many of my fears? Maybe you have only one on paper here, or you have two, or you have plenty like this. I promise you, it will deliver you from all your fears. Can you say amen, somebody? And if you are struggling with anything, please feel free. Come and see me on Wednesday. 3 o'clock downward, I'm here in the office. Come see, we can talk personally. I want to close with something. Downtime. Write it down. Downtime. Write it down for me. Downtime. On the screen. Downtime. All of us, no matter how smart you are, you'll have your downtime. That you're just angry. You're just sad. Sometimes you are drawn to tears. maybe early in the morning sometimes, maybe after some kind of disappointment. And adults, they don't believe you have downtime. It's a clone rule. Can you break it into two? Remove the, so you can break it into two, downtime, downtime. All of us will have our downtime. Have you heard of David killing Goliath? One time, Goliath's brother cornered David. And David was now tired, unlike when he killed Goliath. It was downtime for David. You only hear about David and Goliath. You don't hear about Goliath's brother. I want to give you an answer for downtime, which will happen to all of us. Sometimes things just happen. Maybe you just did jump and they jammed you. For some exam, you couldn't get the money before deadline, or you got the money, you failed the exam. Or you are thinking of getting married and you are like, you are not like Shola, who has brothers who can give money, man. Or you finish school and work is not forthcoming quickly. Psalm 84. Can you get me Living Bible? They have it over there. Verse 6 and verse 7. We are going to close with that. Wow. Can you look up, everybody? This is what I've learned, and I want to close with downtime. When they walk, these guys are journeying with God. When they walk through the valley of what? That one we call it downtime. It becomes what? A place of what? Refreshing springs. Refreshing. You know, when you are depressed and sad over an issue, it's time to refresh yourself. Notice something. When a car is on the road, it's making noise. When it gets to filling station, they say, put off the engine. Am I right? You never buy fuel with your engine running. They said, it's downtime. We are going to refuel you. Anytime in downtime, it's time for filling station. You know what you need to do? Don't go all over town making noise. I'm going to be drinking beer. Withdraw. Some few friends you have, talk with them. And then ask yourself, what's the way forward? How do I go on? And how do I strengthen myself in this season? It's time to read, get books, watch stuff, educational improvement, stuff like that, motivation, and prepare yourself. A lot of time, downtime can really help us if you use it. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. Give me in Living Bible. Do you have Living Bible? Balumis will know it. Do you have Living Bible there? This is NLT. Okay, this is it. It sounds better here. Let me have your voice together. Let's get together. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it becomes a place of spring. Where pools of what? Collect after rains. Downtime is in the valley, and that's where the rivers flow. Am I right? That your downtime. When you're not selling, you have been selling your product before. You've been selling your shop. Customers are there. And suddenly, you don't see customers again. It's downtime. Take your Bible. Take your books. Take your studies about sales, marketing. Sit down in that office and learn, grow, recraft your strategies and spring out again. If you notice, our lives are not perpetual days. They are day and night. And nighttime looks dark, but it's time to refresh. If you don't have nighttime, your body will never have rest. Doesn't have rest, all these days will break down. So I say this to you, downtime is good time to train yourself and get better. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Are you blessed today? Have I helped you a little bit? Thank you. See, I've forgotten my offering since first service. I give it to your service. All right. Praise God. I don't think we have any question. I don't know if you are blessed today. You're blessed. Okay. Great. I cannot answer these questions today. If we come next week and you feel as we'll answer that your fear, just write it on paper and say, give reverend now. I will oblige to do that in the service while we do other things. But I really want you to give a personal word to you from God to you. I believe we are all blessed today. Even if you just overhear, some of you will answer your questions and your fears. But don't forget, the Lord is with you. Let's give our offering. Shola, can you come over? You may come and help me. Okay. Choirs will have sung earlier than this. I thought this would have sung before me. It was after. Are you sure? Okay. Choir, come and sing about fears. The last deliverance from our fear. Come and sing, choir. Let's clap for them as they come. Then we take our... I've answered all these ones. I've taken care of all these ones. No leak questions. All right. Let's give our offering at the same time.
Father, we give all to them. Father, we give all to them.